Hey besties, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about And Just Like That. So if you haven't watched it, do not listen to this episode because we don't want to ruin it for you. So go watch it and come back. We'll be waiting. And just like that, let's start the episode.
Who cares?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we're back. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good day
How
to you.
Are
good
you?
Sir. Good madam. Whoever.
How are things? As your mother. Hello, dear. How are you?
Oh, my God. I'm good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of BFF Energy. These two lovely voices is Chris Garcia and Neen Caruso. No. Oh, my God.
Not a Chris.
Oh, my God.
Actually,
I did catch
myself.
We haven't even
submitted our license. We haven't even signed it. We need to. I'm such a mess. John's like, when are we going to do this? He's like, you know, we're not really married.
You are literally a Lifetime movie. You know, the Lifetime worst. Movie where it's like, oh my God, you're actually not divorced or you're not married. And it's
not
been,
really you, married.
You've been together for like 25 years. And it's like, but you're not married.
You know, I'm never going to change my last name. I'm going to procrastinate. John's like, what is wrong with you? I don't know. Everything a bride is, I was exactly the opposite.
The opposite. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I had to submit stuff and do, but I'm not doing all that anytime soon.
I mean, you know, it's funny because I actually just thought about this just now, is that your name went from AC to AB. You went backwards in the alphabet, but you're there like you AB, you're ABC.
Oh my, I am ABC. Okay, wait, but can I just tell you also another conspiracy theory that I have for myself?
Oh my God, please do.
Okay, so why I think I'm like Lucille Ball, okay?
Okay, I love this already.
All right, let's talk about this. Three things. They call my husband Johnny Balls, Anina Balls. Balls, kind of the same.
Oh, yes.
If you look at my mother-in-law, she is the spinning image when she had short hair of Lucy Arnaz, who's Lucy's daughter. How weird is that?
Oh my okay. God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She had her kids when she was Lucy had her first kid when she was turning like 39, 40. I'm going to have kids around that time too.
Oh,
like I'm hoping to start soon, but isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is such a parallel. Oh my God, that is you.
It is. As I said, I was like, you know what?
And also Lucia Ball, boss bitch. You,
boss bitch.
Boss bitch.
There you go.
Hello. Hello.
There it Hello. Is. My dad said the other day, he goes, you know, your vows were sweet. I cried a little bit. He's like, but they were comical. He's like, remind me of Lucy standing up there. And I'm like,
I'm telling you.
Okay. I was not okay with my vows, so I appreciate that.
You know what? This makes it even more of a reason to go to
see the movie.
Well, not only that, but to go up to the.
We've been saying this for how long?
We need to do that.
15 years. We really do.
We need to do that. We need to do that.
We have
to. It's a long weekend. The three of us can just go.
That's what I think we need to do. And honestly, so one of the museums, they have like an actual replica of the apartment. I have to go sit in that living room.
We have to. And I want to come in and be like, Lucy, you know.
You got some splaining to do.
Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
We got to see the movie.
We got to see the movie.
We do. You know what? I was even thinking, I know we're doing lunch. What happens if we say we could do, we go to the movies instead
of a lunch and a movie?
Yeah, lunch and a movie.
We can have lunch in the movie.
In the movies. Maybe we could do that. Would you guys see that instead?
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would love to see that, but I don't want, you know, I don't think that John's going to sit through it, but that's why, like, let's go.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. Let's do that.
We would appreciate that. And then we'd be like, Nicole Kidman, how are we feeling about you?
Yeah. Cause then we're definitely gonna have to judge that.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. I'm not.
Did you see the trailer though?
I did see the trailer.
She sounds like her.
I will give her that. She does sound like her. She, you know, it loosely looks like her. I don't think she looks like her
loosely,
a lot. I think
she's too... loosely Lucy. Yes.
Yeah.
Loosely Lucy. Yeah.
I love that.
But you know what? Everyone says they're like, well, Deborah Messing should have been. I'm like, she's annoying the fuck out of me. Okay. Deborah Messing. And first of all, I'm a diehard. You know, I love her.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, she's not capturing I Love Lucy, the character, Lucy, like Lucy Ricardo. Nicole Kidman is capturing Lucille Ball, extremely different from
Completely
the character.
Different. Right.
Yeah. Lucille Ball was a very like serious woman.
She was a boss bitch.
She was a boss bitch, but she was a very serious woman. People think that she's like a scatterbrain in real life.
She ran a network, an empire. Like, these are the things that people don't understand because they see the comedic relief, and she is the creator of comedic relief. Like, this is like, she is physical acting started with her. Like, she is a physical actress. She will get
and
in there
woman.
And a woman. And that's my thing. Like, right between her and Carol Burnett, like, those two are physical comedy icons that, like, really just say, if I'm going to get into the dirt, I'm going to get into the dirt. If I'm going to put my feet in grapes and stomp, I'm going to put my feet in grapes and stomp. I'm going to fill my face with chocolate. I'm going to fill my face with chocolate. Like, these are things that, like, were created at that time that people still that use now, but it started with them. And that's the difference between the character. Like, when Deborah Messing did it on an episode of Will and Grace, the revival.
She wasn't that good. I'm sorry. She wasn't
that good. Did I live for the moment where, like, you know, they're doing the stuff? Of course. And did I do it better? Of course. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I think that, to your point, the Nicole Kidman of it all is that it's the person, not the character.
Yeah. You know? And I agree. And honestly, they always say, like, Lucy, like, she wasn't afraid to, even though, you know, women always want to look beautiful on screen and they want to be, like, you know, feminine and stuff. That's what I loved about her. Like, she was still a beautiful woman, but she was able to play ugly characters if she needed to for the comedy. Like, she got into her comedy, and that's what I appreciate. She didn't care if it spared her for not looking glamorous. Like,
yes.
She was just downright, she was a badass bitch.
She really was. Badass. And I admire her so much. And
she is my, you know me, she's my role model, my muse. She will always be the first person. If I had to go to heaven and they said, who are you meeting? I said, I will meet Lucille Ball.
For sure. Yeah. That is definitely on the list for sure. But yes, let's do that. I think that would be so much fun.
I agree.
And just like that, we transitioned.
And just like that. That subject is dead. What in a spoiler alert? First of all, let's do a disclaimer. We're going to have a little spoiler, but what in the fuck was that?
Yeah. I mean,
what
seriously,
in the fuck was that? Okay. I have to say that because
I mean, wait, so first of all, by the time this comes out, it's going to be the week of Christmas.
Everybody knows what's happening. I mean, everybody knew the next day.
So everybody knew the next day. And then by the time this comes out, it'll be like, I don't know, episode 3 is going to come out because it drops on Thursday.
Yeah.
So by then, you guys should have been caught up. If not, get on the thing. Bergen County Moms Group, stop being such bitches, according to Jackie.
Slaney is like, nice.
Let's stop taking each other down, guys. Let's build each other up. Support.
I mean... And Yahoo really did a spoiler, and Peloton.
Oh my God, Peloton. That was hilarious. Oh my God.
I heard
God.
Their stock went down.
11%.
Their stock went down. What was it, like 35% or something?
No, 11.
Oh, it was 11. Okay, well, then I really killed it. And just like that, I killed it. I can't. So they didn't even know. They had no idea how they were being represented.
Which is interesting because, Neen, school me if I'm gonna say this wrong, but from a marketing perspective, isn't there marketing placement where...
Yes, how you are being represented.
Right? Okay. Yes. So a lot of people want product placement. They'll pay into the movie and whatever, and then be like, okay, now you can say Peloton. And instead of saying, you know, a bike or whatever, or instead of saying Apple, you can, you know, instead of saying Coca-Cola, you say, you know, soda or whatever, unless they pay you to say Coca-Cola, unless they pay you to say Peloton, unless they pay you to say Apple. So like, why was this not happening?
And wait a second, wasn't there an instructor that was on it and then called him out on the 1,000 ride or something?
Yeah,
it was something like that.
Allegra.
So, yeah. So explain to me how did we not discuss like what the dialogue was going to be, the continuous dialogue?
Explain to me how an antihistamine for allergies is... doing Peloton.
Well, first of all, it made me want to step away and look at my Peloton and be like, you try to kill me.
Yeah. Do I die on my 1,000th
ride? Do I really want... I'd rather just sit on my recliner because clearly my Peloton will try to kill me. Okay.
But it'll be only on your 1,000th ride.
Only on my 1,000th. I think I'm at like my 10th and I've had it for a full year. And again, closet hanger.
By the time you get to 1,000, I think it'll be inherited to your children's children.
Yes. But like, Jesus Christ, like Peloton, get on it. Like next time, like really figure out like how they're being represented. Maybe they got paid off because they're like, sorry, we can't release. Apparently also you saw on the Stephen Colbert interview that they were shooting, you know, full scenes just to throw people off. So maybe they said one thing to Peloton and then if I was Peloton.
Yo, if I was Peloton, I'd I'd be like, I have a problem with this. Like, that's wild.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're not gonna do that. So all right. So spoiler,
big dies.
Guys.
Big fucking
and
dies.
Just like that, big dies. And I love how they end the first episode.
And just like that, Big dies. I'm like, so let me get this straight.
Is this said Big or John? Just say Big or John. John
big,
is dead?
Big. She said Big is dead. So let me get this straight. As a loyal viewer of all these years, okay, you made me sit down for a like 3-hour movie. We sat there. We got fucking pissed when he left you at the altar. We were saying like, oh my God, smack him with that bouquet of flowers.
Yeah.
Kill him. Get him. And we sobbed with her when she was in Mexico and when she took away her glasses and she was crying.
Yeah. And we laughed during Poughkeepsie in her pants.
Yeah,
I mean,
because she needed to laugh again because she was so brokenhearted. Broken. And I mean, broken. But then you fast forward to And Just Like That. And just like that, Big died.
All of this for him to die.
But then and then fast forward to the second episode. And I'm like, where's your tears? That's the one thing I just don't understand. You just lost the man that you have been trying to get for like 15, 17, 20 years. You finally got him. You get him. He's kind of stable. We go through a really terrible movie. We go through a second terrible movie. I'm sorry. They were just all bad. If you rewatch them, they're all just terrible. I mean, they're guilty pleasures. We love them. We'll always watch them, but they are terrible.
So bad, but so good.
So good. And now we're going to go through our next series and now he's dead. Listen, I understand that it's facts of life. Okay. And then actually speaking of facts of life, I want to talk about that too.
I didn't see that, but I saw a trailer and then I was like, I missed this. I need to watch.
Oh my God. It's so bad. I can't even, it wasn't bad in all sense, but like what? Next subject. Oh, hold on. Let me stick to this. Well,
yeah.
I can't even finish your roof reboots. My mind, I just been wanting to talk to you. So you get me like, and now I get it. So life, you know, facts of life. This is a life cycle. You lose partners. This is what happens. Okay. You get married. Things. It's just autonomy. Like, this is just what happens in life. But like, I just don't understand about her, like how she handled it. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
So here's what I'll say. What I said during our after hours conversations between the three of us.
Yes.
Is that I can understand the moment that they are both technically socialites of New York City, right? If you want to put it this way, they're technically socialites of New York City, right?
Okay.
That gives them, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. What I'm saying is that perception is everything, right? And perception is telling you, okay, my husband just died and I have to do a million different things and I need them all to be right. So here's the thing of it. It's for everybody else, right? It's for everybody else. She didn't want to do it at a funeral home in the Hamptons, which was ironic. And then she did it at this art gallery and then had just a small amount of people, very private. I get it. However, for her, she needed to stay on, in essence, because she could not break down in front of the elites of elites of everybody, because then they're going to come up to her and give her a pity party. Oh my God, you must be devastated. Oh my God, look at you. You're a mess. Oh my God, your mascara's because that's what people do, right? That's what some people just decide to get you at your weakest and continue to bog you down. And mm-hmm. So she's like, and for her, the way I kind of took it, which to me was fairly relatable, is that I don't have a moment right now to myself to break down, because I have to entertain 75 people that just walked into this door to say their condolences. I have to make sure that things after this thing are set. I have to make sure that the things for cremation and the funeral services are fine, that whoever is going to talk is going to talk. Wherever we're moving. Those are the things that happen during a funeral service that are so behind the scenes that for me was a lived in truth. To be perfectly honest with you, I was the same reaction that she was. I didn't have a moment to just cry. I didn't have a moment to assess myself. I assessed myself on my own time before everything happened. And I assessed myself as soon as my mom passed away, before I called everybody, right? Before I called my dad and my aunt and even Ange. And before I called all these people to come and like help me, I internalized everything and I cried my ass off. But then I said, I need to get it together. And then I just became this very stagnant robot of, I have to call the funeral service. I have to get an obituary right now. I have to get flowers done. I have to call these people. I have to donate her clothes. I have to call the hospital. I have to call hospice. I have to do all these things. There are so many things that bogged me down that day. I did not have a chance to do anything. And then when it came to the time to do the wake, and say hi to everybody, I had to be pleasant. I had to be on. I had to accept everybody's critique or apology or whatever. And to the point, I just became very numb. I became numb. And I just stood there, like pretending to smile and pretending that like this is supposed to happen. And so that to me is how I took this whole thing. I think for TV though, I am curious to see how she's going to continue to take this episode into episode, because this is not a isolated incident for her, right? I'm sorry, the opposite. This is an isolated incident for her, because to your point, she has a pattern of breaking down, crying her ass off, addressing things, sometimes in a very emotional state for her. And that's just kind of what it turns into. And for her to do this was unexpected.
Yeah, but I think that's what it is, because we know Carrie as like wearing her heart on her sleeve.
Yeah.
And we see her, maybe it's because she matured. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe because she feels as though she does. I agree, actually, everything you said. And again, never been in that situation where you lose someone so close to you like that. I mean, we lost grandparents and you know, family members and whatnot, but nothing like a parent or a loved one or a significant other, knock on wood. So, I mean, we don't know. And I have no idea what that feels like. Yes. And I agree. Maybe you do have to be on. I just think that like, just her mannerism has changed completely, where it felt a little disconnected of, and I felt very disconnected to all of the characters though. Like Miranda wasn't Miranda. I don't feel that was like
interesting.
Charlotte's a little like, she's so sensitive. Like she's been sensitive, but she's not like annoyingly sensitive. Like, she was too overly, they just were out of character to me. I just don't feel, I think they were just like showing face. And I'm like, so you let us all in this, like, right? As a viewer, as a loyal viewer all these years, you have literally taught us that friends are everything. Be yourself, you know, fuck what everybody else says. Screw the timeline. Just do you. Find your happiness. You know, you have each other's soulmates. And like, what I was seeing were these three women. First of all, I'm not going to even go there about Samantha. No way would that character have left her friends because of money. That's bullshit. Okay.
That's bullshit. That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
So you should have killed her off. You should have just killed her off and been done with it. Like, she should have just passed away, knock on wood, and just been done with it. Because at this point, I'm like, that's just completely out of character of her. Like, yeah. All three of them, like, Miranda, when did she become so insecure and she was so like tongue tied and she couldn't, maybe because she is coming into her own or something is happening and manifesting into her sexuality. Yeah. Fine. But she's always been a confident woman trying to like always knowing what she wanted. And
not to fully interrupt you there, but I wanted to address that because I think to me, what she said during the episode about with the pandemic and like she kind of like left corporate law for 30 years as she was a part of because she was noticing injustices being really specific to like this whole like Muslim protest and all that stuff. And that sort of like changed her mentality. I will say that the way that the character, the professor, who I think is stunning and absolutely beautiful, was a good dynamic for them to have, because you can kind of see this. It felt like a racial cut in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is what Miranda is struggling with, is this whole like, how do I learn and how do I not offend? Right. And then how do I help? But I think that she is so, like, to your point, less confident about how to help people, which to me bothers me, because you're a lawyer. Yes. Yeah. You might have to just change the way you say things to people from a less legal perspective, but use your talent. You have 30 years of corporate law experience. You've stood up in front of like judges and other attorneys and faced them down and peers, and you've told people to shut the fuck up, and you can continue to do that and not lose yourself. Right. That's the problem.
And the one thing is, too, also, she has actually beat diversity when it comes to women being so powerful and legal. Remember back in the day when she was buying her apartment and she's like, sorry, just me. And they're like, oh, is your father buying it? Nope, just me. Your significant other? Nope, just me. She had to break down those walls. So that's what's really like disheartening to watch this character kind of like go back into her shell.
I was like,
you really broke those walls down for women. And now all of a sudden I get it. Listen, there are new subjects now when it comes to this, like the racial. I understand that, like, things that were normal to us are now we're unlearning, knowing the fact that like, no, there, that is not okay. We cannot be doing that, and those things that you can't be saying, and, you know, be mindful of those things. And I'm all for that. I understand that it's all about learning, and we're relearning, and maybe it's a little difficult in her age trying to relearn that, and she feels as though like she's just not saying it right, or she feels as though she has to impress her like professor. But Miranda, it's like you overcame all of these like obstacles. Maybe it's different because you are a white woman going through, but you're still a woman breaking down those walls.
Exactly my point.
Let's not forget about that.
Use the Rolodex that you've built for yourself and say, okay, hey, professor, not address the class, but I think I would say, if I were in her situation, I would say something along the lines of, you know, hey, this is, these are some, like, whatever the topic is at that moment in the class, I don't, you know, whatever it is, but you kind of have to come in with the approach of your knowledge and say, I know that that's how we did it, right? I know that this is what it was, because she's a great historical reference, right? She's a great historical reference in the sense of like, this is what she did. This is what she learned during the time that she was, you know, alive, when these students around her were like in diapers or not even born yet. So I think that that's something that people need to like understand, to say like, I'm going to learn from the person that has this previous knowledge that I only find in textbooks, because I didn't grow up in that world and I didn't live that, instead of trying to like downgrade her or downplay her as a character and give her less confidence, say, okay, how do we use what we have to build her character into this like I always say, right? The 2.0 version of you, yeah. That is the 2.0 version of her. What does the 2.0 version of her look like? And she's trying to find that. And I think you're giving her, by giving her less confidence to find it, doesn't look good for women. It doesn't represent anybody well. I don't think.
And I understand, like, when you're going through a pivotal, like a new chapter in your life, and that's the thing too, we've all gone through like those different chapters, you know, we've also taken away where we've like gone back into our shell just to go through regrowth, mm-hmm. right? I've done it. We've done it. Like, it happens. And sometimes, you know, you kind of have to be in your silent and like in your own little like web in order to relearn these things. And again, it does actually affect your confidence, and you become a little insecure and you are a little more alone and things like that before you're actually like ready to like pop out again and ready like to figure it out. Right. But what I'm seeing is this woman, she just like backed up way, like just so many steps behind. And that's what it is. I'm like, what happened? You know what I mean? And again, people look at her like, I actually think she's a better role model than Carrie. What did Carrie really bring?
Agreed.
Okay. So she's a socialite. Why are you a socialite? Well, who did you marry into? Great. You had your books and whatnot, but you kind of like fed off of that. So like, she's great. Everyone thinks she's like, oh my God, she's the most amazing like character, but I think she's actually the most toxic character.
Yeah,
she is. She's a very toxic person that never went, like, I go to therapy, Jack.
True. True.
You know, like Charlotte go, you know, was from money, married money, got money, you know, that's what it is.
That's always been her world.
That's her world, like being taken care of. Then you have Miranda that really, like, she, like I said, broke barriers. That's what was really disheartening. And again, we just lost Samantha, who was another powerful woman.
Yeah.
So now we have this stigma around Samantha that she's just surrounding about money. She's just becoming money hungry. And that's what, she'll give up everything for money, which is bullshit. And then you just change the character of Miranda, where now all of a sudden she's just being downplayed and she's like in her own little shell and yeah. She doesn't know how to like face the world. Like, when did you become a Charlotte?
Yeah. And then, that. And then she became very awkward.
Awkward
socially with like things of race and color and creed and whatever and orientation.
And remind you, she dated a black man, so she was all that, you know, like it never, she
and she did, and she didn't she didn't, and she didn't just date a black man, she dated a very handsome,
yes,
very attractive, oh my Lord, he was Blair Underwood, right? Yeah, Blair, yeah, Underwood.
He was
Oh, God, he so is hot. Still very attractive man. And he's not dead right now. He's alive.
No. Just, Jesus Christ. Stop.
I'm killing everybody today. so I don't, it's not a, to me, it's not a colorism thing. It's not about seeing color. It's nothing of that sort. Cause people use that terminology sometimes and people are just like, you can't say that. You can't say that you don't see color. It's not about that. It's about being more aware of yes. your surroundings, about being, it's about being curious. I always go back to the fact that, like, just be curious, ask questions. If you don't understand, ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't come with your questions of like, this is me, right? Don't come from an attacking point of view, come from a, I want to learn. Like, can you explain to me what this is? And then people of color, people who are minorities will be more than happy to explain it to you. And if they don't, then that's being cynical, because that's not how you want to approach a conversation about culture, about race, about color, about any of that. You don't want to approach it that way. And yeah. I just don't think that they should do that to a character like Miranda, who, to be honest, when everybody said it back in the, you know, during the series, we're all a little bit of a Miranda.
Yeah.
And now you're giving Miranda this, and I'm going to say, because I mean, this was a term in what, 2021 or 20, whatever, pandemic. They're giving her this Karen bubble, right? This whole Karen,
uh-huh.
like thing.
Yeah.
Like when she asked the bartender for alcohol and to like, you know, make
bring
it quick.
Bring that up for a second. Do you know, I read that actually too. And you were right. Say what you said.
What did I say?
About the alcohol, you and Jackie, like.
Oh, that she's. Yeah, yeah, because she's so she drank during the recital. She brought a bottle of wine.
See, which, I took it as like normal.
I mean, I'd be like, I would do this if it not would. A bottle, I would bring a flask. I would.
Yeah.
I'd be like, if I'm gonna watch. Listen, if I'm gonna watch your kids, especially exactly. your kids,
yeah,
real life fit, like your kid, Jackie's kid, Rachel's kid, If I'm
you
gonna
think
go
Jackie
to a
would
thing,
pass away with that bottle, she'd be like, give me that freaking bottle. We're sitting in Olivia's recital. She'd be doing the same thing. Give me a break.
I like, I need this for my own life. And so, yes. So yeah, but I just don't like that they're giving her this Karen feel. Like, that's what I got out of it. And I was just like, I don't want this to turn into that, because I don't think she is that character based on historical watching the series. And that's what disappoints me about you're trying to make Miranda this character. Like, she's not that person. What you needed to do is that, yes, maybe she just became more quote unquote woke, right? Like, that's, to me, is a better interpretation of a Miranda, because she evolved and said, yeah, I left corporate law, but now I started my own nonprofit to like, I can help battle blah, 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 and like do all these things that I am passionate about. That to me seems like a more cultivated, curated character that has progressed in her lifetime from the series and from the movie. And that's what I would have liked to see, because like I said, she is a more relatable character. Like I said, everybody wants to be a little Miranda, or everybody is a little bit of a Miranda if you're, you know, whatever, right? Everybody can relate to that. So I was personally very disappointed in kind of like her trajectory. What I do like about her trajectory also, this whole like newfound whatever it's going to turn into between, you know, her sexuality, that's something that I think happens with age two, right? I think that that's something that can very for sure happen, but I don't want it to feel like you're just adding to a plot line that adds no substance to the episodes. That's what I would hate, you know what I mean?
One thing I didn't agree on, I was like, why did we just see Brady having sex? I was like, this is a 17-year-old. That was
unnecessary.
17.
Unnecessary.
Why? That was disgusting, actually. And I don't, listen, I am not a prude, but like, that was why. You could have heard it fine, but the fact that we saw, I'm like, he's 17. I was like, is this wrong? Like, what?
I didn't need to see that.
No,
I didn't need to see
and he's
that.
Not, no. I
it
can't.
Just it felt very underage pedophilia vibes to me. Like as a viewer, I was like, I fast forwarded. I was like, I don't need to see
that.
I don't.
That was
I don't
weird.
Need to see that
I was
he's
like,
having
he's
sex.
He's Brady. He's a baby. Like, no, we don't need to see that. And I don't
he's
care.
He's under
if it's
18.
Like that's
no.
gross. No,
he's under
not about
18.
That.
I thought if he's 18, fine. Like whatever. But then she addressed that he's under 18. I'm like, no.
What the fuck did we just see? Yeah.
Like
so
no.
That was a cringe moment. And then when Sarah Ramirez's character made Carrie say, "Step your pussy up."
Oh yeah.
I was cringing when Sarah Jessica Parker had to say that, because it was like my mom saying that. Ew. It was not cute. I don't know. I know. Listen, I know you really like Sarah Ramirez's character.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. She's a little aggressive.
I agree with you. I do
and
agree.
Professionally,
that-
I'm like,
I
do we
think
really
she's
act like this? Like a
I
little
think
too
she's,
much.
I think she is a little aggressive. I think she needs to dial
she's like
it down a little bit.
Forcing the character. And I'm like, why are we, you, why? You are a great actress.
She
I
is.
Don't, I don't know. I just didn't like her hardness.
I mean, she's definitely playing a stereotype.
Such a, but it's like so forceful.
And I'm not here for it. What I think also that to me is a problem is that you made her a comedian. Right.
Yeah.
She plays a comedian who has a podcast and is also, you know, a lesbian, or I forgot how she identifies. But to me, you don't have to be that aggressive, because it sounds like to me this podcast feels like you're just trying to get the jokes. Right.
Exactly.
Like, that's 100%. What it is. It feels like you're just trying to
and
play, for the,
like
trying to play for the jokes.
Like she was a bully.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, first of all, the chemistry, I'm sorry. I just don't think the chemistry is there for her to be there. It's not, I don't think it's appropriate. I mean, these women are just like, listen, it's all about fine educating and all that stuff. I'm all for the professor. I'm all for all these like moments, but like with Sarah Maris's character, it's just a forceful, like when they were having the argument, her and Miranda, I'm like, it was just weird.
I'm interested to see how Carrie is going to stand up to Sarah Ramirez's character, because I think that needs to happen. If that doesn't happen, to me right now, it feels like a little bit of a bully. Like she's just, it's too much too soon. I can agree that for the podcast, and if this podcast has a lot of like visibility, that, you know, to my point of earlier, you have to be on, right? You have to, sometimes you just have to be on a little bit extra. But I think it's also finding the right chemistry between the right people. I also don't think that the guy belongs there either. I don't think he's funny at all.
Yeah, where did he come from? I'm like, I like him as a character. I like him as a comedian.
I like him as a comedian. I think he's hilarious. I loved him on Mad TV. He's super funny. I think he's one of the funniest people.
He brought no relevance. Like, there was nothing.
It just didn't make any sense. He just, like, the way he chimed in, I'm just like, I don't, it's not, it wasn't funny. I didn't find it funny.
Like, Carrie giggling, but that's Carrie. She was always an awkward, even though she was a sex columnist.
Always
her awkward. Character's always been an awkward, prudish type of person, which has always been annoying. Actually, I'm like, how the hell are you an open-minded sexual like columnist? All we're hearing about is your freaking relationship with Big, and like,
right,
that's it. So like, don't call yourself a sex columnist. Like, you were a relationship columnist. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And we were related. It was okay, in an anthropology stage, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she was not progressive. She was not open-minded. She was, remember with the bisexual, she was like, oh my God, I can't even do this. Like, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away from being gay. I'm like, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But like, she giggles. She's very uncomfortable. So I'm like, are we challenging? I just feel like all these characters brought these new characters in to challenge them. And I'm like, but it's not a progressive way, maybe because it's so new. But it was like, we're not depicting our old characters. And I don't care if it's like, we're just putting them in new, like, unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the thing. And like, we're really trying, again, unlearning the bad or the good, whatever the case is, but bringing characters that are actually having some chemistry with our characters.
Right. Exactly. And like I said, I'm in the first two episodes, just it did not land for me. I'm hoping that there is a rise and it continues, that something evolves from that. And what I would like to see personally is, like I said, Carrie needs to have a little bit more confidence. If she is going to do this podcast, then great. But just share again. I'm going back to the fact that, like, you have historical knowledge, and even Sarah said it, right? You have something about you. You were an OG before this even was a thing. Like, give me that, right? So the pussy up stuff is, to me, true. Like, she does need to step it up a little, right? She needs to. That is more of a culturally, that is more of an LGBT cultural thing that people who are cis, hetero, normative don't understand, those kind of colloquial terminologies that LGBTQ people use. And that's why for you it's a cringeworthy moment, because that's not something when you hear somebody say, like, step your pussy up, it's not something.
No, I get that, but it was like hearing my mom saying.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But like, your mom could say it, she has a vagina, and but it's because we are socially awkward when it comes to certain people saying certain things.
Oh, she's that's so weird.
That's what it is. But because, like, it's not her nature to say it, it doesn't mean that she can't say it. It's just that it's not her nature to say it. She's never really used that even word in her columns or like part of her, you know, her identity. That's not a word she used. Like you said, right? She's a little bit of a prude. And I think the point is that Sarah was making, that's the moment that I liked her as a character, is that she's saying, hey, use the information that you've acquired. You are our sort of historical Rolodex, right? You were the OG of the 90s writing this shit. So like, come with that experience. Come and tell us what that was. Put what you said on paper and in your books to the crowd in person, like as we're having a dialogue, because that is relatable content, right? If someone's going to call with a question, or not even call a question, if she just asked her a question, she just said, well, you know, back when I was doing it, it was a completely different environment. And let me explain it to you. And this is how we get into this conversation. She needs to take a little bit more of what she was and bring it to the current. That's what I want to see.
Do you think that, like, the writers are actually just exploring all the insecurity, like pulling out every single insecurity of these characters now? Now that we're dissecting everything, it's like we're putting them where they thought like their world was Cosmos and boys and shoes and all this. It's like, no, there's a lot more outside of that. Like, there's real world problems.
Exactly. Because if you look at it, I mean, and they all say it, and I think we all know the undertone, right? It is a white centric show, right? The amount of diversity in this show was very, very minutia, right? Like, it was a couple of characters that maybe were of Hispanic or something descent, and you had a couple of Black people that came in through the show or whatever. But for the most part, the main characters were white, sub characters were white, you know, the gay best friends were white. So the entire cast was, there was no color in this cast. Mm-hmm. And now you're going into an area where there is so much color. There is so much unknown. There is so much diversity. You have these people that are no longer saying I'm a he or I'm a him or I'm a they or I'm a she, I'm a her. I am now a they. I don't identify as anything, right? And these are things, to your point, unlearned behavior. And now you're putting these three women into New York City again, outside of the martinis, outside of the fancy restaurants, outside of like, you know, all that, right? All that stuff. And now you're putting them into like, you actually have to go on the subway, girl. You actually have to look at someone who does not look like you. You have to see someone who did not come from the same upbringings that you did. And you're going to have to deal with that. And how are you going to deal with that? That to me is a good message to put in the show. Yeah. I like it. I just think that what I'm afraid of is that we're losing the characters that we fell in love with, instead of seeing how they are growing from it. And that's
unless,
what I'm hoping.
Actually, from your point, maybe this is actually growth, like where we're seeing them vulnerable and we're seeing them insecure. And now it's, you know, maybe it is telling the story of like, just because, you know, you lose your loved one, life doesn't end, like, or you get to a certain age, life doesn't end. And it goes, you know what I mean? And like, you can have another storyline. You can have a few more chapters in life. Just because you turn 50 doesn't mean life is over, or because you got gray hair, life isn't over. Like, maybe that's also a thing too. We're kind of like stepping away from the stigma of like age, like, you know, you turn ageism. 60 and yeah, age is just a number. It's not about how you're feeling. It's not how you're, you know, like the way you carry yourself, but maybe that's another thing too. It's like, you can be a certain, maybe this is the lesson too. Like, you can be older and still unlearn all the things that you learned. And now you have to progressively learn something else. Like, now you have to, you know, just because something was right in that generation doesn't mean that it's okay this generation. So maybe actually they are telling us a lesson.
Right.
Maybe they are giving.
So I think we love this.
I think we loved it. Man, we just like dissected it though. But honestly, I think we went full circle. Maybe there is something that they're saying. You know, it is not just out of these socialites. Like, maybe this isn't just about Manolo Blahnik and Cosmos and freaking, you know, Mr. Big. Now there's life outside of all of those like unnecessary things. You know, there's a lot more than just your closet, you know?
Right. Because now she was a single woman in the city. Right. Yeah. Young, single woman in the city. But now she is a single widow in the city.
Yeah.
And how are you going to navigate that? How are you going to navigate?
But, and think about that. A single Carrie was chasing the, you know, again. And I feel very like I understand this character because that's really how I was too. Even though you were chasing your own dreams and love and character and all that stuff, you know, it felt good to actually find the one and be with a person as long as you don't lose your identity. And I think that that's something kind of relatable with Carrie for me, is like, I do not lose my identity just because, and it goes right back to not changing my last name. It's not because I don't love John. It's because I'm not in a rush to like, I don't feel, and he's not pressuring me. So maybe the same thing with her too. And it's like, you know, when one chapter closes, there's a new one and it doesn't just end because your person end and you're doomed. It's like, no, you have to remember all of the lessons that you learned and all of those things and all those tools that you equipped with and trying to like make it through and start this whole other chapter and this whole other life. And that's really what it is. But you know who brings that back, actually, who the OGs were for that?
Go for it.
Golden Girls.
Yes. Say it.
Because if you think about it, they were the OGs, because when life ended, divorce and death and all that stuff, what did they do? They moved in with each other. They moved to Miami. They all had sex. They all had boyfriends. They all did their thing. And some of them got remarried and did whatever. Thank you.
Beautiful.
So actually, it goes back to the Golden Girls.
You know what? I love that.
We did it. We just dissected it.
That full circle moment, Neen, I swear to God. It does.
But those were the OGs. You know what? Those were the OGs.
The super OGs. OGs.
And you know what? They didn't have Cosmos. They had cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Wow. Oh, my God. And it's funny. I'm actually wearing my pin.
Oh, see? My pin's over there.
Funny. Oh, my God.
But honestly, like, maybe this is the big lesson. And it goes back to like Lucille Ball. We just said that she had her first kid at 39 or 40. She started I Love Lucy at 40. You know, you have the Golden Girls. They started their lives again at 60. And then you have like Just Like That. They're starting there in late 50s. So again, where we thought that like you needed to get married at 26 because, oh my God, you're getting so old. No, right. Again, maybe this goes back to the lesson of like, fuck your timeline. Things will like progressively happen in your life the way that it needs to prevail within your journey.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Just live your life because you never know what's going to happen.
And like I said, what I like now that we've dissected the show, I think what I really like about it is that they are really putting them in a real New York City environment.
Yeah.
Like this is the reality of New York City. This is how New York City has evolved also, right? Because we all knew when we were growing up, New York City was not the best place to go to sometimes, right? We had all those, the whores and the...
the whores and the live
nudes and the theater things and like, right, that whole district was crazy. And you know, a lot of these areas did a complete gentrification and completely shifted. And now you look at New York City and Manhattan in particular today, what it looks like in the boroughs, and it's a completely different identity for itself. But that's that, now that this is a new, it's a new identity for these characters, but it's going to show, to me, what I'm hoping is that this shows their growth, because just as New York has evolved, the characters have to evolve. And to your point, they have to unlearn behaviors. I just don't want them to do it in a way that makes it feel like it's forced, as opposed to a natural progression of someone's growth, which by every pattern that we, you know, study, and coming from an HR background, is that, you know, you don't readily accept, right? Then you go into that denial stage, and then you finally start to come through, and then you finally, it becomes part of your habit. That is something that has to progress in this season, that we need to be able to watch as consumers of this and fans of this franchise, to say, I need to make sure that these people are growing, but also giving us a glimpse of how people naturally react, right? Because we are playing in a society where not everybody reacts the same way. You know, some people are that quote unquote Karen and are very that and very extra and very like whatever. And those people are not going to change. But don't make a character fully that, because it's still TV. It's still TV, because she is not that. And if you've done your homework, writers in the workroom, in the writer's room, if you've done your homework on this series, then you know that that's not her character. If anybody is that character, it's probably more Carrie than anybody else.
Yeah. I think so too.
You know, and so like, to me, it's like, don't try
to. Let's not even go there about Kristen Davis's character. Oh, there is absolutely, Lord. I see no growth whatsoever. I feel like she is literally just straight lined.
She really has.
She's comfortable and that's it. Life is that, but she doesn't, I don't know. Like, her character is boring to me, because I'm like, could you pick up something else? Like, okay, you have your kids and stuff, but again, where's your identity?
Yeah. But did you notice the difference between the two girls in the sense of, and that kind of annoyed me, because it's like, you really, especially when she goes, what is it that she said? Something around the lines of like, not lucky to have me, or she said something along the line that kind of annoyed me a little bit. Rose said to her, oh, I'm a treasure. I'm a something like, you're lucky to have me, I'm lucky to have you kind of situation, but it didn't sound right.
Which and one then, is Rose? Is she the younger one, or is it's Lily and then a Rose?
Oh, Lily. Lily is the adopted one. Yes.
Yeah.
Lily.
Yeah.
And then Rose is the one that's theirs, or not theirs, the one that they
biological.
Thank you. That's the word. I couldn't find it. I almost said the one that the sperm and the egg joined and made something.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know, like the long way. I was gonna do it the long way.
So wait, Lily said, what did she say?
Wait, it was Lily said, well, she said, oh, I'm so lucky. Kristen Davis said to her, Charlotte said to her, I'm so lucky to have you, or you're just a treasure, or something like that. And then she goes, and then Lily says something along the lines of, and I have to quote it back, I have to remember it, but it's something along the lines of, you're lucky to have me too, or I'm lucky to have you too. And basically dissecting it, because I can't remember the exact verbatim, it said something to me about how happy Lily is to be, to have been part of this family, right? Mm-hmm. She shows appreciation for them adopting her, you know, where not every kid can be adopted and live in this kind of lavish lifestyle, wearing Oscar de la Renta, you know, under, like at 16 or wherever she is now. And I think it came from a point where like, she feels really happy, but then you see Rose coming in
Just an ungrateful little fucker.
He's an ungrateful little privileged bitch. Yeah. And I wanted to like throw a shoe at her because I was just like, but then you see this sort of this difference between the two of them. And you see like this girl is very lucky and she feels very happy to be had been adopted by such a, you know, affluent family and been able to give the been given the privilege that others in her same situation would not have, right? And been able and grow up in an environment where she can, you know, do things and do, you know, be a pianist and be amazing. But then you have this one that they, you know, sperm and egged, and she is an entitled little white bitch.
Yeah.
And I just, that's the thing that's what annoyed me. I'm just like, why does the other one have to be a stupid bitch? Like,
yeah,
I just,
like why? You're both brought up the same way. I don't understand. Like
fucking why?
You would think actually the character, you would think as a child, and then maybe she's a narcissistic little brat. Like she doesn't have any compassion. So we can dissect that too. Ugh. But you would but if you had a sibling that was adopted and if you learned about the culture and learned about where she came from, you would also feel very grateful that that's your sister, that you have her. And so like, that's what a normal.
Yeah.
But no, this character now is a little sociopath and she's just really being like an entitled little fucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she's just entitled.
And that's what pissed me off about
her. And then like Charlotte, but then this goes back to then like unlearning behaviors and generational behaviors. Mm-hmm. Then what are you doing as a parent? Because again, like I know when people are like, don't always blame the parent. Well, tell me who's navigating this child through life.
True.
It is the parent. I'm sorry. Yeah. It is the parent. It is what you are saying. It is what you are giving. It is how you are teaching. These are things that maybe, okay, if you're noticing that your child is very, very like unpleasant and an entitled little brat, well, then you know what? Take away the fucking, all the technology, take away all of the clothes and show her and make her do some like, you know, make her go down to a soup kitchen, make her go and, you know, volunteer her time. Do all of those things to show her the fact that not everybody comes from privilege money.
Exactly.
Sorry. Like that's shitty on your part then as a parent. And you know what? As a writer, they really need to start dissecting what Charlotte does because I'm sorry. After a while, your kid is frigging grown. What are you giving to society? I just don't understand people that literally just stay at home and they have nothing else. What else are you giving to society?
I mean,
are you volunteering? Are you doing anything to like help while we are working and, you know, continuing to like,
live a life, like,
put money back into the economy? What are you giving except for just sitting there and being a socialite?
Right.
I don't understand that.
Because all she is doing is being part of the, I don't know, she's on the board of
the stigma. It's the white stigma. That's what she's being a part of. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfortunate because I'm like, okay, as a writer, they have an opportunity. And again, we're only at 2 episodes, but like we made her even weaker and sensitive and everything's about her. And again, that was never how Charlotte is. Charlotte always had a sweet heart and she was just always like wanting to have family and stuff. But now it's just like, she's just flatlined.
I'm convinced that she's going to be going through menopause.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's going to be her journey is menopause.
Well, fine. But it's like I'm sorry. Listen, everybody wants to do, I'm going to say it, Botox, facelifts. Oh, I'm all fillers. For it. Okay. I'm all for the beauty, like nips and tucks. I'm
whatever
all about
you want to do. Yeah.
You do you.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something.
Oh, mama,
when you start looking like Kristen Davis, where is your best friend? Because Chris, remember when I got a little Botox and you're like, well, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not smiling? Why do you look like that? You tell me straight up. And then have I ever gone back? No. And look, I can move my mouth.
You can move your mouth and you're not drooling anymore. Now. Hello.
Where is her best friend? Because someone should have been like, take down the needle, take down the nips and tucks and be done with it. Because your face looks fucking crazy. I can't look at her. She looks like the Joker.
She looks like a Joker and she looks like a fish when their lips are this way. It's just, I don't.
What is that?
It doesn't look good.
She looks like bass. Look like a fish bass.
Thank you. A fish bass.
Remember the fish that would like dance? That. It was on the plaque.
Yep.
And then that's what she
that
looked
one.
Like.
That's
why?
Exactly what
and
she
I'm not
like.
Here to go make fun of, again, I'm all for
it's
it.
Not
you
that.
Want to feel good about yourself. But how the fuck did you just wreck your face?
Yeah. And her face is so pretty. Her
it's
face
such
was
a beautiful face.
Such
she was
a beautiful
the prettiest
face.
One.
Yeah. She was the prettiest one. And it's just like, why do you got to do that? And then when I sent you the Colbert report, it was even worse when she was like crying about the whole Willie Garrison of it all, which RIP, I'm so sad about Stanley.
But I did not like his character.
Hated his character so much.
Hated his character.
I did not. I said, why are we doing this? What's happening here? Like,
how did his character become such an entitled little? He was Rose. He was being such a little fucker.
He was such a little fuck. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna slap the stupid out of this one, because it's just like, I can't. I just couldn't. I really couldn't.
Oh my God. And then they wrote Anthony like he was sweet and compassionate. I'm like,
are opposite players. Like, what's happening right now? Like,
I said, where are your writers? Did anybody watch the old episodes?
I know. I want to go to that writer's room and just kick the door down and be like, guys, we're watching all of these episodes and then we're gonna talk about it. And we're going to do a focus group because you guys are not getting this right.
Like, listen, and I'm all for it. I'm a brat sometimes. Okay. And John will be the first one to admit it. I have my bratty tendencies, but like how Stanford acted. First of all, can I just ask who the fuck was Gloria?
Oh yeah.
She was like this pivotal character in Big's life. He was like the secretary and like Harry was so brokenhearted for her, but I'm like, who the hell is she?
I never saw her once.
Okay. We didn't have her in the episodes, right? Cause I'm like, why are
not we- that I remember.
To me, that's why Stanford was like, bitch, what are you doing? You don't belong here.
Yeah. I have like listeners. If anybody does remember who she is, please let us know, because I have no idea.
Gloria? I have no idea.
But I think that if it meant something to Carrie, and if Carrie would have assigned her a seat in the front, then she would have been in the front. That's exactly. My thing, right? Like it's one of those things like, it's first assigned seating.
Why
it's not.
We have assigned seating at a funeral, girl? Like, what are you? Okay. It's, you always know the immediate family always has the first row. Okay. Right. Fine.
Yeah.
But like, why is there I don't know. It was just so stupid. It was so over
weird.
The top.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is what entitled people do, like socialites do for their, like, but that was dumb.
Yeah. It was just dumb. Like,
that was
just
so stupid.
It made it feel like a social hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
Like the most important people in the front. It felt like the Titanic of a funeral,
but the whole
right? Like
funeral
it
was just stupid. It was so stupid.
Yeah, it really was. It just
but I do want a montage for mine though.
Of course you do. I'm sure you do.
I want a montage. And I was about the montage, but I was not about like how, and then wait a second. Let me just talk about another thing. When she opened up the card and it says love Samantha, and then she brought her the flowers, she's like, okay, that's good. But I'm like, okay, that's not again.
Mm-mm.
Samantha would have been there.
She would have been there. She would have flown. Sorry. She would have flown.
I'm like, kill her ass off. Do not do this. Don't make her selfish. That's not how she is.
That's not her character. It's so far from who she is that it just, I'm like, that's where I think that just, I don't know. And the fact that they had enough time to think about how to do her character or end her character to start new characters is great, right? Like, I think they had a big opportunity to do that and they just missed the mark.
Do you think that like Kim will eventually come back?
No, I don't think she will.
I know. And I think that's what they were hoping for. But like, yeah, she's not coming back.
No, she's not. I would have preferred if they would have said, oh, she's flying here. And then all of a sudden there was a plane crash. And like, that's just the end of it. Like,
kill
and that's the end of it. And
then just kill her off. Done with it.
Or maybe the cancer came back. Right. And she got COVID and she died. And like, right, like that to me feels more real, like more real and relatable, right? Because we are living in that time and that's what happens. So,
but maybe they think that they'll give her more money and then that's what it is. But it's like, if you have a toxic environment, there's clearly a toxic environment. Maybe her and Sarah Jessica Parker just not meshing. They're just not doing it.
It's just, she's not coming back. She's not coming back.
But I was not about Carrie. I don't feel relate. I don't feel it. I don't feel her warm. I don't feel any of it. I think she's an asshole in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And one other thing too, I know we're going to wrap up soon, but wait a second. Everybody also I was reading was like, she came home, she saw him, she could have actually called 911, but
oh my God. Yes.
Okay. What? Especially what is your first immediate reaction when you see your loved one on the fucking floor?
I'm
You're
calling
telling me
911.
You just hold him?
Like,
what the fuck?
Like, I'm sorry. What the fuck? Like, he was still...
He was still alive.
Yeah. He was still alive.
He's still alive.
So basically what you did was like, I'm going to hold you until you die.
Yeah.
And then like, right. And then like the Manolo, and then you see the shots to the Manolos. And then you see the shots of the Manolos, like, because now you're saying that, like, you know, this is their time to say goodbye to each other. So like, it's washing away the history that they had together. Like from a metaphor perspective, it was awful. Like, she needed to pick up the phone. She needed to be like, I'm going to go get my phone. I'm going to call 911. Even if by the time she came back from 911, he was dead, at least fucking go do
it. Fucking
do it. Don't just be like, oh, I'm okay. Well, let's wait and see what happens. Don't leave me. Like, wake up. Like, you can't do anything about it. You need to just, what you can do about it is call 911. call somebody to get here, because those are precious seconds. So like, don't just be like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to stand here. What the fuck? You're a deer in headlights.
And Just Like That, Big is dead. I'm like, well, yeah, no fucking shit. You didn't do anything.
And just like that, it's your fault. Stupid bitch.
Just Like That, what the fuck did you think?
Yeah. And then also, before we wrap up, Charlotte blaming herself because of the recital. Oh my
God, it was so dramatic. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Though I did laugh when you sent that picture of Lily.
Oh my God. The tweet that they said is like, can we just talk about how Lily has fucked up Carrie's life again? Because the first time she had her phone when she was getting married and didn't know that Big was calling and calling and calling, she put it in her purse. And then the second one is the recital. And then look what happened. Lily, you bitch, you are a curse.
Lily, you put a hoax on that Bradshaw lifestyle. Oh my gosh. That was hysterical though.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I think that this is going to be definitely a topic of conversation for each of these episodes. But
for sure. Listeners, for the next series of episodes of this podcast, we will be recapping the episode for you. So get on board. Make sure that you subscribe and make sure that you watch the episode so that you can engage in the conversation.
Yeah. So you know what we're talking about. But my God. I didn't even want to drink a Cosmo with that. Like, I didn't.
No, and I didn't. No. I did have wine, but I didn't. I didn't feel like I could indulge in a Cosmo.
No, I was not like, I wasn't feeling like, you know, I was like, what the hell is going on? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel disconnected. And I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah, I hope that episode 3 is different. And yeah, well, listeners, that'll kind of wrap us up. Want to wish you a very merry holiday. What? Merry
Christmas.
What?
We're not allowed to say Christmas. Oh, fuck that shit. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Whatever Kwanzaa, you celebrate.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Diwali. Whatever you celebrate, please enjoy it with your loved ones. Make sure that you put us on and your family will laugh as you're wrapping presents. That's what it's going to be. But this has been another episode of BFF Energy with Chris and Nian. Until next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to BFF Energy with Chris and Neen. Produced and edited by Chris Garcia. Music by Chris and Neen. Follow the show or send us questions on Instagram and Twitter at BFF Energy Pod. Until next time, besties, bye!